What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast. Happy Tuesday. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. This is the daily CBS Sports NFL podcast. If you like it, as they say on HQ, if you love it, don't lock it. Review it. We'd appreciate a review on iTunes. Subscribe, unsubscribe, whatever you got to do. Anything that boosts the numbers, we always like. The numbers are climbing as we head towards the pinnacle of the sport, the Super Bowl, and into the offseason. And as we head into the offseason, we're going to talk every week with my good friend, longtime podcast pal. It's a house cast, Ryan Wilson. Ryan, what's up, buddy?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on 2 days in a row. Again, this is going to be a thing.
Yeah. We'll probably migrate you. Well, it depends on when your mock drafts are, but your new mock draft came out on Monday. You are our CBS Sports NFL draft expert. Still takes some used to getting used to say it, but you are.
You and me both.
You are. You're grinded. I'm impressed. We'll talk about Kyler Murray and maybe some quarterback trades, the Steelers landing a replacement for Antonio Brown. But let's hit some news around the NFL first, because despite your status as a draft expert, you still cover the league.
Yep, let's do it.
I should have a sound drop there. It's like, news! Alshon Jeffrey took the blame for the Eagles' loss to the Saints. Do you blame Alshon? Yes or no?
No.
Me
either. I
think
I said it on the Pick Six podcast on Sunday evening. 35 targets in the postseason, one drop. It just happened to be that drop. By the way, if he drops the ball and just falls incomplete, we're not talking about Alshon Jeffrey. So, yeah, he's part of the reason they won last year. Our buddy and our colleague Cody Benjamin will confirm as much. He's a huge Eagles homer. Who
Alshon was like Anquan Boldin light for the Ravens in 2012 last year for the Eagles.
Yeah, other reasons they lost, like giving up an 18-play, 11-minute drive. That also tends to lead to losing. So, yeah, nope, he is not the reason they lost. Nick Foles is now leaving, or at least seems that way, given the way Doug Peterson gave a heartfelt "you're leaving" conversation after, I think it was on Monday morning. So plan B, and that includes Carson Wentz, who I've always said they should trade and keep Nick Foles.
You actually think they should trade Carson Wentz?
No, of course not. Nick Foles' contract's up. We sort of joked about it. If he made that Super Bowl run 2 years in a row, that's all you could ask for as an Eagles fan. So why not get all you can get for Nick Foles, for Carson Wentz while the getting's good?
They're not going to do that. They're just going to let Nick Foles walk. I don't think they're even going to exercise his option. It's for $20 million.
No.
That would be insane. You can't do it. You just can't do it. Jeff Allen, Chiefs player, stuck in the snow, is helped by a homeless man named Dave. Finds Dave and has given Dave, the homeless guy, AFC Championship tickets. If you were Dave, would you scalp your tickets to the AFC Championship game in Arrowhead Stadium?
No, he's a huge Chiefs fan, apparently. He had helped some other people out on that same Saturday before the game. He knew that Jeff Allen probably wasn't from around Kansas City because his license plate said Texas and he was stuck in the snow. And he lives in his truck with his girlfriend and a dog. And it was reported in the local news. Jeff Allen found him, and the local news interviewed him. Seemed like a great guy, given that he's on hard times. And also, I think they set up a I don't know if it's a GoFundMe or something similar to give him, help him get off his feet. So to get up on his feet, I guess I should say. So yeah, go to the game, enjoy it, and then hopefully good things happen after that. You earned it.
So Dave, this is Dave Cochran, and you wrote about this today, Dave. I get it. I mean, but Dave lives in his van with his girl, lives in his truck with his girlfriend and his dog. So he owns a truck, but he's homeless and he lives in there with his girlfriend and his dog. How many people could you live in a car with and for how long?
Oh, zero. Insane. It just wouldn't work. I would be a terrible homeless person. I have a tent. I like to camp every once in a while, but I would bring the tent, make my kids stay in the car. Maybe the dog would kick at the tent. But, yeah, I can't imagine. I mean, it's not like it's warm in Kansas City right now. Clearly, they had several inches of snow. So Dave and his girlfriend and his dog are having to kick it in the car every night. And they actually showed on the local news clip, he has, like, trash bags over the window. So, I mean, this guy's on hard times. And for him to stop and help someone, that's huge.
Yeah, it really is.
If I'm Dave, I'm just so angry at the world. I'm not stopping for anyone.
Wow, I'm looking at this truck now. This is crazy. He really does have trash bags on the windows. I mean, it actually looks like a fairly newer truck, but
Jeff Allen guessed it was a 97 or a 98.
Yeah, because Jeff Allen tweeted out, he's like, if anybody can find this guy named Dave, please let me know. And then Jeff Allen later added, update, despite the recent influx in people changing their name to Dave in the KC area. Hey, you people who changed your – acted like you were the homeless Dave that helped Jeff Allen get his car out of the snow and then tried to claim the AFC Championship tickets, you're horrible people. You're worse than the people who changed their Venmo tags and tried to go and steal money from people who were trying to help out Cody Parkey. Man, that's some nonsense. John Elway said Case Keenum is, quote, probably a short-term fix. We talk more about quarterbacks in the draft, but should the Broncos target one in the draft?
Yes, we can talk about that shortly. But, I mean, John Elway's track record with quarterbacks, not great.
Not great, Bob.
Brock Osweiler, second-round pick. Paxton Lynch traded up in the first round. Neither one of them are – I think Brock still – he played with the Dolphins this year at the end. He didn't actually play terribly. Paxton Lynch didn't play anywhere as far as I know. So he didn't work out. And he only had a handful of starts before it was clear that he wasn't the answer. Trevor Siemian was a seventh-round pick. Chad Kelly was a seventh-round pick. Zach Dysart was a seventh-round pick. So they didn't pan out, but it wasn't from lack of drafting quarterbacks. So basically since Peyton Manning retired after the 2015 season, when he wasn't great, is the last time they were a real threat to make the playoffs. Back-to-back losing seasons for the first time since 72. John Elway's been there 8 years. Maybe he's the problem?
Maybe. Does have a Super Bowl, though.
With who?
Peyton Manning, Brock Osweiler, the combo.
Brock did play that season.
Yeah, he did play. All right. Patriots-Chiefs weather forecast. Interesting story here. Perhaps an Arctic blast could hit Kansas City and create historically low temperatures for the AFC Championship game. Beside the fact, the over-under in this game, by the way, has already dipped from 57, I believe down to 55.5 is what I saw, maybe down to 55. If you like the over, now is a good value time to go chase it because in theory, it won't, it'll come back up if the weather ends up missing, probably in the 57 range. Yeah, 55.5 now. Pretty precipitous decline. Who do you think it helps more if the weather stinks in Kansas City? The Chiefs.
Patriots.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because the Chiefs are at their most dangerous when Patrick Mahomes is allowed to do Patrick Mahomes things. And that usually involves throwing the ball. So if it's not snowing and there's no precipitation, maybe it's less of an issue. If it's not windy, maybe it's less of an issue and it's just cold. If it's 5 degrees out there, I feel like Patrick Mahomes can still be the same player. But you still have to have guys that can catch the ball, and that may become an issue. Guys that don't get tight and pull hamstrings and all that other stuff. But I think if they're going to run the ball, the Patriots, like they did last Sunday against the Chargers, that favors them, especially since the Chiefs can't tackle anyone unless they're wearing Colts uniforms.
Yeah. I don't know. Their defense looked pretty good.
Man, what against the Colts.
What if their defense is just getting hot at the right time?
And it's great news, but I don't know why we would expect that. They've been terrible all year. Why now suddenly it took 18 weeks for them to figure it out?
Yeah, maybe they're just saving up and waiting to unleash, I don't know.
Hades?
Yeah, Justin Houston and Eric Berry didn't play the last time these two teams met. That's worth noting. Antonio Brown, trade rumors. Jason Lockenfora said on CBS Sports HQ, you can watch that at cbssports.com/live. If you like seeing up-to-the-minute draft news and notes, tune in when Ryan's on. He'll be breaking down all the draft prospects all season long. How many times a week are you doing HQ now?
Three or four. Tuesdays and Thursday nights I'm on, so you can catch me there. And sometimes I was on earlier Monday when Kyler Murray news broke. So that was around 4 p.m. So three or four.
Antonio Brown, Jason Lockenfora said on CBS, real sports news for real sports fans, in case people care, or any fans, non-sports fans. Real news, not fake news for fake fans, whatever you want. Just come watch it. Antonio Brown, the Steelers won a first-round pick for him. Don't give me that smirk like that tagline was bad, fake news for fake fans. Does he want to go to the 49ers, and would that be a good landing spot for him?
Joe Staley and George Kittle want him to come to the 49ers. They both tweeted in his direction.
That's right.
They have a ton of cap space. Get Jerick McKinnon back. Is that his name? Yeah, Jerick McKinnon.
Yeah.
They get Jimmy G back. Pierre Garçon isn't what he used to be.
Marquise Goodwin has had a down year, but could bounce back.
Dante Pettis is a nice guy to watch. George Kittle is sort of the central part of that offense, not the passing offense. No, I'm hesitating because, no, he doesn't want to be there because it's a terrible team and he'll pout. Although you could argue if you throw the ball to him 15 times a game, maybe he doesn't care if they go 0-16. So that's the trade-off. And is that something Kyle Shanahan wants to deal with? Is that a headache he wants to worry about in his third year when he hasn't won very many football games? I don't know.
That's what Ryan Clark and a lot of the old Steelers intimated, is that Antonio Brown doesn't care about what the team does and that he just wants to put up huge stats, get paid, be famous, keep making money, make sure that business is booming, show up to training camp in a phantom every year, act like he, you know, is there to grind out a title and just walk away with a receiving yards total and like he's more T.O. than he is, Reggie Wayne.
Hines Ward, yeah, sure.
Hines Ward. Hines Ward, please.
Team player, gonna be a Hall of Famer.
Hines Ward should not be a Hall of Famer.
Well, you can tell Hines Ward that next time you see Hines Ward.
Well, maybe Hines Ward will be on the Pick Six podcast at the Super Bowl. How about that?
Yeah.
Are you going to come on?
Happily bring that up to him.
Are you going to be on the Pick Six podcast at the Super Bowl?
I'm not booking guests. You're the host.
I'll find out. I'll check with my booker.
I would imagine you have something to do with that. Also worth pointing out, JLC mentioned in that spot on HQ that the Steelers think they can get a first round pick because his contract is relatively cheap once you get out from under it if you're the Steelers. And unlike Amari Cooper, who the Cowboys got a first-round pick, gave up to get. He's 24, AB's 31, but Amari Cooper's going to have to get paid because he is young and on the rise and had a good season and all that. But AB is a better player without question.
Yeah, $22 million, $22.165 million cap hit in 2019, $18.3 million cap hit in 2020, and then $19.54 million cap hit in 2021. It's not cheap, but I mean, like, I guess, like, you're like, we can trade for him and he's cuttable in 2021, which is great, except if you trade a first round pick for him, you don't want him to be cuttable. It's gotta be a team that thinks they can go over the top, right? I mean, like, it can't be.
Well, you know who has the most cap space?
The Jets.
The Colts. 120 something million, I think, and that's the floor. But our buddy Greg Doyle, the columnist of the Indy Star, heard Chris Ballard talk on Monday and suggested that no one AB, he didn't say names, but no one AB, no one Le'Veon Bell, no one anyone that wants to get paid a lot of money. We like the way we're doing things, and he's right. They're building that team the right way.
Yeah, he also said that he wouldn't be trading Jacoby Brissett this offseason either, which is quite notable because there would be a market for Jacoby Brissett because there's always a market. Speaking of press conferences, Adam Gase, did you watch this press conference?
I saw Twitter catch a fire about Adam Gase, and I thought they were making fun of the fact that he's 39 or 40 years old and has a huge bald spot, which I can relate to. But it wasn't that. It was the fact that he had crazy man eyes. What was he looking at? Did we ever figure out what was going on?
I mean, he looked like someone who had been fed 4 quad vente lattes at one time before
going to the Red Bull.
Yeah, and then shotgun to Red Bull and then ate like 15 pounds of amphetamines. I mean, he was, look at the, I will chat you the story right now, and I hope that didn't make a chat noise, but if you go and look at these pictures, I mean, I screenshotted it.
Have you seen the Twitter meme with the tacos?
No.
There's a little animated taco on the screen, and his eyes are following the taco around the screen. And it makes it, oh, my gosh, these pictures that you're showing are just, yeah, I don't know what, that's Bryan Cranston right before he kills someone on Breaking Bad.
It's, I mean, it's unbelievable how weird there's an Adam Gase eyes on Twitter account now. I don't know. I like Adam Gase as a coach. I think he could do some good stuff. This is a weird opening. A lot of Miami beat writers, including our friend Adam Beasley of the Miami Herald, noted that this is just what Gase does. And it's basically his brain, contorting his body and forcing him not to say the things that are on his mind. Like, what a stupid question that is.
He made that face in Miami, and he fielded plenty of dumb questions.
Because he was always, remember, like, he did the thing this year where he's like, they're like, what's up with Ryan Tannehill? He's like, I don't know. There's HIPAA laws or something. I can't talk to you. It was a crazy answer, but I guess if he says that stuff, if he doesn't allow his body, if he doesn't allow his mind to say whatever's on his brain, then he goes into these weird contortions. The movement he made with his head is just wild. Like, he says, like, this is very exciting for me, and then does this like weird like twitch up with the back of his head. It was very bizarre. I had a buddy of mine text me during the middle of that thing and be like, "What the hell is going on with Adam Gase?" And I don't know. I mean,
maybe it was a hostage video. Was he trying to send us a message with his blanks?
That's what I was thinking too. Maybe it might have been. Either way, I don't want to say not a great start, but not like an ideal look to go up there and he's going to get in a screaming match with somebody.
Well, I'll tell you this: he did better than the Bill Belichick Jets press conference where he resigned 12 seconds after he stepped up to the podium.
That's fair. That's fair.
I'll be right back.
Yeah, he did say I'll be right back, didn't he?
I don't know. He had scribbled something on a piece of loose leaf paper.
I'm no longer the Jets head coach. And everybody's like, whoa. I mean, can you imagine that happening in 2019?
Oh, Lord help us. No, absolutely not.
I mean, remember what a big deal the Favre stuff was? Like that was like
the scandal or the
when he was retiring.
And like, oh, right. Yeah, that was complete and utter nonsense. And it made me angry that he couldn't make up his mind because it meant that we had to pay attention to it.
But like we were just starting sports writing back then, right? I mean, or like professional sports writing maybe in 2006.
They were following the tail number of the plane that was flying to Mississippi to meet with them that came from New York or came from Minnesota. So, yeah, it was nuts.
No, I mean, it came from Green Bay because it would have been, it was 08. Before he got traded to New York. And like they were like, is Favre going to retire? Is he going to unretire? Then they were following a car back to, back to wherever. I don't know. But anyway, if all that stuff happened in 2019, it would be insane. A surprising hire out of Green Bay, Nathaniel Hackett, fired last year in the middle of the season because Blake Bortles and the Jaguars were terrible on offense, has been hired by the Green Bay Packers. Which is a pretty good little upgrade for Nathaniel Hackett. That's like you're driving a Honda and you just get you wreck your Honda and you go flying out of it. And you're lying on the ground next to the car, next to the beat up car in the road, and somebody pulls up in a Ferrari and leaves you the keys and walks away, and you just get to hop in the Ferrari and drive it. Pretty good deal for Nathaniel Hackett.
Highly disrespectful to Hondas, comparing Hondas to Blake Bortles.
That's fair.
Blake Bortles is
a Pinto,
a Hyundai. Like a pre-95 Hyundai too. The newer Hyundais are actually can be pretty nice.
Those things do look nice. Those new Hyundais.
Yeah, they tried to fancy them up a little bit. Not too bad. But yeah, I think Nathaniel Hackett got sort of a raw deal. He was sort of the scapegoat when in reality the quarterback couldn't throw an overhand pass. I do wonder what this means for Matt LaFleur, how much involvement he's going to have in the offense, whether he's going to have a completely hands-off approach. If that's the case, we'll get an idea pretty quickly of how good he is. And I talked about this last week as a manager, because that's basically the primary job of a head coach. Anyone can do X's and O's, and we'll see if Nathaniel Hackett and Aaron Rodgers can get on the same page with that. But Matt LaFleur's job is now to oversee everything and make it work. Mike McCarthy did that for a decade, I guess. I'm not sure how long he was there. Burned out at the end there. So, yeah, that's his task. We'll see how much involvement the Flower has with the Hackett.
Flower power, man. Let's go. All right. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll be right back to talk mock draft.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's
the
butterfly effect for
real. The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Technically, before we talk mock draft, Ryan, we should probably talk about Kyler Murray, who announced that he is entering the NFL draft on Monday afternoon. He waited until the last possible second. I'm sure you appreciated that as a draft analyst. And then he he dropped the news that he's going to the NFL draft. Do you think he will actually go through with this?
Well, he took this step, and the A's and the Major League Baseball were scrambling to try to make sure he stayed committed to the A's and Major League Baseball. Sunday, they sent all sorts of marketing people, which seems like a weird thing to say, to speak with him. Scott Boras is his agent, the super baseball agent. The reports that he wanted $15 million to stay. He has the $4.66 million signing bonus he got from the A's when they drafted him ninth overall last summer. And Monday afternoon, he said, I'm declaring for the NFL draft. Now, here's the thing. February 15th is the start of training camp for the A's for position players, and he will, if he wants to, can report and play with and work out with the Major League guys, Mesa, Arizona. 11 days later, you and I will be at the Indianapolis NFL Combine, and I imagine that Kyler Murray will be there as well. Now, he may not work out, but he'll be there to talk to people, face-to-face interviews and all that other stuff. If he's not there, he just said, basically, I don't want to be a first-round pick. If he is there, it's go time.
Do you think that Kyler Murray would be a first-round pick?
Yes.
100%? Absolutely. Really? You think?
100%.
Okay.
He's 5'8". I understand that. No quarterback has won a football game since the merger who's under 5'10", except for your boy, Doug Flutie. I understand that as well. But Russell Wilson in 2012, he's 5'11". I'm using quotation marks because he's probably not 5'11".
Yeah, he's 5'11", like I'm 5'10".
If he came out in 2019, he would be a first-round pick. Baker Mayfield is a couple inches, 3 inches taller than Kyler. Ran the exact same offense under Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma the year before. Both Heisman Trophy winners. If you look at their stats, they are literally, their passing stats, identical. Like there's one more touchdown, one fewer interception, and that's about it. Same yards per attempt. Touchdowns, interceptions the same, almost the same yardage, same completion percentage. The only difference, one's a little bit shorter, but also Kyler Murray ran for 1,000 yards last year. That's 700 more yards on the ground than what Baker did his last year at Oklahoma. If you're okay with that, if you're okay with the way Lamar Jackson was running that offense in Baltimore, and also, by the way, he's not nearly as accurate as Kyler Murray or Baker Mayfield. Also, and I talked about this yesterday on the podcast, you don't have to be 6'5 to be able to see over receivers or to find throwing lanes. Look what Patrick Mahomes did with the Kent Tecolve underhand pass to Travis Kelce. You're not making that throw if you're Joe. Is Joe Flacco making that throw?
No, he can't physically do that.
He's 6'5".
Yeah.
Ben Roethlisberger might make it 1 out of 10 times, and that's if he's fallen down. But by and large, Aaron Rodgers makes that throw. Tom Brady does not. Drew Brees makes that throw.
Are we sure Patrick Mahomes is 6'3"? I'm not sure he is.
Yeah, he may not be, and that's my point. You don't have to be 6'5". If he's 6'1 or 6'2", Dwayne Haskins is 6'3". No one's complaining about his height. 5'8 is an issue, though. I mean, you don't see 5'8 quarterbacks. You don't see 5'8 NFL players out there unless they're Cody Parkey. So that is a concern. You want to see how tall he is. He's listed at 5'11", I think, but he's probably closer to 5'9". He may be listed at 5'10". 175, 180. And the bigger issue may not be his height. It may be his weight. Because RG3 was as thin as a rail, and he took a beating, and his body wasn't built for it. Russell Wilson never takes a huge hit, and he's been able to play since 2012 with it. I don't think he's had ankle injuries, but I don't think he's missed. Has he missed a game? I feel like he hasn't.
Russell Wilson has never missed a game, I don't believe. Yeah. And he's never missed a game for injury. I don't think, have they ever sat him?
No, he
started every single game. He's never missed a game.
Beat Boris Jackson out back in 12.
Yep. Yeah, Matt Flynn, man.
Oh, God, they traded for him or gave him a big...
No, they signed Matt Flynn in free agency, and then they drafted Russell in the third round. Russell beat out Matt Flynn. By the way, you're Syracuse Orange, potentially about to upset Duke basketball on the road. Duke's about to dagger them. At any rate, here's the thing with Kyler Murray that I'm a little wary of. And I had my spidey sense went off a little bit when I heard, I think it was Ian Rappaport of NFL Media, had a statement from Boras, or maybe Boras gave a statement to teams where he said, my client is unequivocally playing baseball. There's no question about it. And it was like, everyone knew he might, like he wasn't even done playing football in college yet. He still had the playoffs to go. And so it was like crazy to hear Boras say that. And I think what's happening here is Scott Boras is maximizing leverage to get $15 million from Kyler Murray. From the A's for Kyler Murray before he ever sets foot on a baseball field, which would be unprecedented money for the ninth overall pick, and would kind of blow up the MLB slotting system. It's weird because in baseball, you know, we're like, oh, these baseball guys have these great contracts. NFL players are getting screwed. That's true. But your rookie contract in the NFL is guaranteed, fully guaranteed for 4 years. In baseball, you get your signing bonus, and you might not see the field for 6 years. Now, there's all different rules about putting them on the active roster and all these different things, but I think what they're trying to do, I think you mentioned this, I believe, last week. He needs to go do what he loves, right? Yeah. Like, that's what he should go do. Figure out what he loves. Does he love football? Does he love baseball? And then go do that. Because if he loves football, let's say he's the 10th pick, he's getting, $12 million, right? Or if he's the 20th pick, he's getting $12 million. If he's the 10th pick, he's getting $18 million.
So that's the thing. Yeah. I don't know why that 15, unless he loves baseball, the 15 million seems like a weird number. And it's also, people have disputed whether that's the number or not. I will point out this, and if you're arguing baseball players are better compensated than, football players, our buddy JJ Cooper, who works for Baseball America and is a huge, Steelers fan, and, noted this in something he wrote a couple weeks ago about Kyler Murray, the financial part of it. Matthew Stafford and Clayton Kershaw grew up together.
Mm-hmm.
Clayton Kershaw is one of the best players in Major League Baseball. Is that right?
That is correct.
I don't follow baseball, but that's what JJ said, so I believe him.
You're not messing around, are you?
I don't follow baseball, I knew who he is, but I don't.
Clayton Kershaw is a transcendent, immediate Hall of Fame.
Even better to my point.
Yeah.
Matthew Stafford, no one would say he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league, right?
No, he's a top 15 quarterback.
Right, he's replacement level. In 10 years, he's made $178 million. In 11 years, Clayton Kershaw's made $173 million. So if you're split between football and baseball, you can make more money as a franchise quarterback in football than the best player, one of the best players in baseball is making at the height of his game. So
Wait. So what's Clayton Kershaw has made over his career? How much?
173 over 11, according to JJ Cooper.
Okay. And Stafford has made
178 and 10.
Wow. That's a good point. I hadn't thought about it like that. And let's not forget
that credit goes to JJ Cooper.
That's fine. And look, so when Clayton Kershaw, let's do the quick math here. This is a little difficult because you have to go to his wiki page, but Clayton Kershaw drafted by the Dodgers, he was taken, he exceeded his rookie limits during the 2008 season. He was drafted by the Dodgers in the first round, 7th overall, the 2006 MLB June draft. So he spent 2 full years not making anything outside of the minor league.
And he only went 3 picks higher than what Kyler went in the draft.
Exactly. Now the slot system has changed, certainly. And he lit up the minor leagues. But the point is, like, if Kyler Murray goes, and yeah, he was bouncing all over the place in the minor leagues before he actually got up there to the Dodgers in 2009 or 2008. If Kyler Murray goes to baseball and signs a $4 million contract and he spends 6 years grinding through the minors and never is good enough to make it, he's done. He just won't get a giant contract. And so you have to wait until you get to baseball, to the major leagues, before your arbitration clock starts ticking. And then you have to worry about going to arbitration. Then you have to worry about getting paid. Whereas if you go and get drafted in the first round by an NFL team, you are paid. You are locked in for that guaranteed money.
Not only that, you don't have to be even a first round pick. Mark Sanchez, he's a first round pick, top five pick, I believe.
Yeah.
He's earned $74 million.
Yes! Mark Sanchez, $74 million.
Our guy Blake Bortles, $40 million. Here's one. Chase Daniel, 9-year backup, has earned $28 million. Matt Cassel, these are all from JJ. He went as part of his story about Kyler. 14-year career, he's earned $60 million. So, you know, you don't have to even be a starter. You can just hang around for 7 or 8 or 9 years and get paid, and you're, you know, subjecting yourself to the same amount of injury risk as you would playing baseball. Like we said, if you love baseball, play baseball. And if this is your negotiating tactic, that's fine.
Oh my God. Brady Quinn.
Our guy.
Last from this podcast, I'm looking at all time earnings at quarterback. Brady Quinn, $10 million. I didn't realize.
You know what's funny? I heard him on.
Think about it. I joked with Brady. I'll joke on the podcast. So I'll be like, I didn't realize how rich you are, Brady.
Ask him this, because I heard him talk about this on Connell and Bell a few weeks ago, a couple months ago. He had a chance to get an escalator. It may have been like $11 million for like playing time, and they kept him out, like at the level of, just below the level of what would have escalated that.
In Cleveland or in Kansas City?
I think it was Cleveland, because it was on his. You have to ask him, because that was 07, so the CBA was different.
I would lose my mind.
But yeah, double check with him because he and Connell were laughing about it. But that's something you can laugh about when you have 10 million already.
Yeah, it's pretty wild too. Like Christian Ponder, 12 million career earnings. I know Brady came earlier, but you know, like Patrick Mahomes has already, this is how important the draft is too. And like when you see, you know, we always used to joke about the face of the guy who's falling in the draft and how it's not that funny because you're literally losing millions of dollars, you know, like Mahomes has already made more than Brady. Granted, the, you know, it's a different quarterback wage scale, but like Josh Allen, 14 million already. Kyle Bowler, 15 million. Man, nope. This is a list, right? Jason Campbell made 23 million in the NFL. It's good.
In spite of playing for terrible teams, he actually, I like Jason Campbell.
Sure. Drew Stanton, $30 million. Drew Stanton.
Mike Martz said he couldn't throw a spiral when he drafted him in the second round.
This is unbelievable.
Look where that got him.
Maybe Kyler Murray should go to the NFL.
Yeah, I think so. That's what he wants to do. I think it would be incredibly exciting. The players I mentioned, Russell, Patrick Mahomes, Baker, Lamar, all make sense. They prove that you can do it. No one's done it that's 5'9 or whatever. But that doesn't mean it's impossible or you shouldn't give it a try, given how dynamic and amazing it is. And Lincoln Riley ran the exact same offense. It wasn't like he had to cater it to a guy who needs to use a step stool to brush his teeth. So, yeah, I love it. And I hope he actually goes to the combine and I hope he declares for the draft. If nothing else, it'll make the quarterback class about 50 times more exciting.
SpotTrack, by the way, has Peyton Manning number one and Eli Manning number two, Drew Brees number three. All three guys repped by Tom Condon. Good for you, Tom Condon. You're doing all right for yourself. All right. Let's talk about your latest mock draft. We need some music for your mock draft. I actually wrote down questions for your mock draft as opposed to just going off on the fly, which is what I usually do in life. I don't know if you know that or not. Do you have a vanity URL to like a cbssports.com/WilsonMock?
No, I don't think so.
Why don't we need some vanity URLs in here, man? Come on.
Vanity. Is that like a vanity license plate?
Yeah. Syracuse.
Here, let me ask you the first question before you ask your questions because someone brought this up on Twitter and I think it's a good point. Cardinals pick first, but the San Francisco 49ers pick second. Mm-hmm. They have drafted, not last year, but the 3 years prior, they drafted interior defensive linemen in the first round in each of those drafts.
The 49ers?
Yep.
Yep.
Solomon Thomas, Eric Armstead, and Buckner, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
To varying degrees, they have not been great. Okay, to mediocre is probably the best way to put it.
Yeah. Buckner's very good.
Okay. They haven't hit on all three. Yeah. How about that?
Solomon Thomas has been a bust.
Would you, as the 49ers with the second pick, if the Cardinals take Bosa, are you taking Quinnen Williams just because he is the best player?
It's a tough spot. I don't know that you can. If you're just looking at that's a great question. Like you are hoping that the Cardinals take Quinnen Williams and they're not going to.
Look, man, he is so disruptive. Yeah, and you're picking number two overall. That means you have the 33rd, 34th pick. You can double around and get.
Now they do put Solomon Thomas and Armstead at like out on the edge as their edge rushers.
I mean, I think 49ers fans would tell you that's not okay.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, like Solomon Thomas is really more of an edge rusher than he is an interior rusher. Anyway, I thought that at least coming out of college, Buckner's been a beast against the run. You could, I think you can do it. I don't think your defense is there to the point that you were guaranteed success with your defense. You know, as the 49ers, that I think it's fine to say, all right, this Quinnen Williams kid is a destroyer of worlds. We feel good about where we're at on the offensive line, and I would assume that they do at least feel okay. Joe Staley's old, but they drafted Mike McGlinchey with their first-round pick last year. They traded for Weston Richburg. They have signed Laken Tomlinson. You know, we feel pretty good about wide receiver and running back, of course, quarterback and tight end. You know, we need some help in the secondary. But why not? Let's take Quinnen Williams if he's the best player on our board. I think you can take him.
Yeah, no, I think so too. Because I've had 49ers fans tell me both that no way we need to get an edge rusher. Josh Allen's been mentioned, and he could very well go second overall.
Sure,
but I feel like Quinnen Williams, you take him second if he's there. He immediately is a disruptive force every play. Swing back at 34, get your defensive end if that's you want. Or sign one in free agency. People are talking about Clowney. I wouldn't pay Clowney the money he wants, assuming he doesn't get franchise tagged. But DeMarcus Lawrence, is that something you consider? Because maybe he might even come cheaper than Clowney. So you got to sort that out, but that's certainly.
If DeMarcus Lawrence hits free agency, and I think the Cowboys will pay him or tag him again. I think he's expecting to sign with the Cowboys. I don't think the Cowboys will let him walk. He's gonna want $21 million a year too.
Yeah, no, that sounds about right. So yeah. You can circle back at the top of the second round, get a guy much cheaper than that, obviously, and find talent. After the first three or four defensive ends go off the board, they're a little clump closer together in terms of their what you should expect of them in terms of productivity. So maybe I'm all in. I feel much more comfortable with Quinnen Williams at two than I do with Josh Allen at two, even though I like Josh Allen a lot.
Your number six pick, Kyler Murray to the New York Football Giants. Do you think Dave Gettleman would actually draft Kyler Murray? I don't either, but it makes sense.
We talked about it last week, and we can circle back to the number two pick after this. But here's what I said this last week, and I'll say it again.
Did you do this just for traffic? It's okay. It's just me. You can admit
I was accused of that on Twitter.
Were you really?
Oh, yeah, of course. Hey, there's always one that says, oh, this is just clickbait or whatever. But this was my thinking with the Giants taking him. Number one, the quarterback went before him. The team traded up for him. We can talk about that in a second. And Gettleman won't do it because we know that he seems okay with Eli Manning and he's very conservative and he'll take a left guard. Where does Hernandez play? He'll take a right guard.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Kyler Murray, Odell Beckham, Saquon Barkley, Evan Ingram. How is that not more exciting than what you did this season with Eli Manning chucking and ducking for 16 weeks?
I'm with you, man.
I love it. And people are like, well, he'll take a beating. He may, but you sign some offensive linemen, draft a few more. By the way, he ran for 1,000 yards last season at Oklahoma. So he's fleet of foot. He's one of the fast. He would be one of the fastest players in the NFL. Just make sure he gets out of bounds. I think Pat Shurmur is smart enough and a good enough offensive coordinator to be able to deal with that. And you saw what Lamar Jackson was able to do, and he cannot throw the ball down the field. They went 6-1. He ran for 700 yards in seven games. He ran for 695 in seven games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and Kyler Murray is one of the best deep ball throwers in college football.
Yeah. He's a much more accurate passer than Lamar Jackson.
He completed 69%. Lamar Jackson completed 57 or 58%, I think, at Louisville last season. He completed about 58% at Baltimore, and a lot of those are shorter throws. I think, Baker completed 71 or 72 at Oklahoma, and in a 63 or 64, I think, is rookie season. So, yeah, he can complete passes.
Yeah, Lamar was 57% for his career at Louisville and 67.4% for Kyler Murray, who was another transfer to Oklahoma, by the way, from Texas A&M. He completed, I don't know if you count, 69% in his junior year. There's not a chance he goes back to Oklahoma, is there? No way.
He can't. Now, when you declare for the draft.
Right. Never mind.
Yeah, you're done with that.
I'm an idiot. Sorry, carry on.
Well, I mean, the rules change all the time, so.
Well, I was thinking from the baseball perspective. Until he declared for the draft, he could have gone back, even though he's being drafted and potentially being paid.
He could have gone back and kept the $4.6 million. He wouldn't have had to pay it back.
Right. And they would hold his rights, but they wouldn't get a draft pick back if they lost him. All right. You have two more quarterbacks going in the first round, or is it three more? Did I miss somebody?
I think. Look at number two.
You're number two. Oh, goodness gracious. You have the Jacksonville Jaguars trading up to get Dwayne Haskins out of Ohio State. That would be bold.
So this saves the 49ers from the dilemma of having to take Quinnen Williams at number two. They stockpile picks and they can do whatever they want.
And that's exactly what they did with the Bears and Mitchell Trubisky too.
Yeah. So Jaguars desperately need a quarterback. We've talked about how Tom Coughlin is very traditional and he likes the guys to be, have experience and all that. Dwayne Haskins only has 1 year of experience, but he was impressive, but he's much more, I feel like, in the mold of what Tom Coughlin will be looking for, much more so than Kyler Murray, even though Kyler Murray might make a lot of sense in Jacksonville. Warm weather, run all day, make the people around him better. I don't know if he makes Leonard Fournette better or not.
I think all running quarterbacks make all running backs better.
Well, yeah, you got to want to play, though. So right. Assuming he wants to get out there and experience that, absolutely. But Dwayne Haskins, I love Dwayne Haskins. He's still my number one quarterback right now. That may change as we go through the process, but he won't drop below two, and that's only next to Kyler. Kyler's height may be the sort of impediment. But you don't want to look back in 3 years and go, golly, I was worried about some guy being 5'9 instead of 5'10, and that's why I thought he wasn't as good as he was going to be. But I love Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah, that's how you get burned on Drew Brees and Russell Wilson.
Yeah, absolutely.
By the way, your Syracuse Orange is going to beat Duke in overtime.
Exciting good. Stuff. Yeah, good I don't. Stuff. I can't name one person on Syracuse's team other than Jim Boeheim.
Me either, but they're up 95-91 with 6.4 seconds left and shooting free throws. That game is
excellent. I have Jacksonville trading up to solve their quarterback problem, hopes of solving it anyway, because we know that Blake Bortles is not the answer.
You're
going to have two more quarterbacks going, which is I haven't had four going in a while.
You have four going total, right? But Kyler got added with this rendition of the draft because you didn't have him in there until he declared for the draft.
No, I wrote this on the hopes. I wrote this Sunday night on the hopes that he was going to declare, and I had a backup version ready to go if he changed his mind.
How many picks did you change if Kyler didn't come out?
I would have the Giants taking Jonah Williams, the left tackle out of Alabama, which mm-hmm. they would certainly need.
Sure.
And then I had, I think, the Redskins. I had another pick ready to go. I have to look it up. I can't remember what it was. I had the Bengals taking Yadni Kajust, the left tackle out of West Virginia, as opposed to Jonah Williams, which he fell to 15.
Says a lot about your organization and your expertise that you were able to do two mock drafts at one time. All right, Denver taking Daniel Jones at number 10. Do you like Daniel Jones?
I like him a lot. I joked with our buddy Nick Costas on Sportsline last week that he reminds me of Kirk Cousins, if Kirk Cousins was athletic and had a good arm. So, you know, all the good things you want Kirk Cousins to be, I feel like Daniel Jones is that. And he played on a Duke team that went to a bowl game, but they weren't very good. He had a lot of receivers drop passes. The offensive line was okay. I don't know if you happened to watch the UNC-Duke football game. I'm sure you didn't because you don't like either one of those teams.
I did. I think I watched. It was a shootout.
Daniel Jones ran for 186 yards in that game.
I watched it. Yeah, I watched it.
That was one of my favorite stats from the college football season. And but he's a David Cutcliffe guy. We know all about that. Eli Payton, that connection with John Elway. John Elway saying that Case Keenum isn't the guy. So all those things sort of add up that they're going to be looking for a quarterback. Now, John Elway loved Justin Herbert. He was at the Oregon games this year. Justin Herbert went back to Oregon. And next year's draft classes, you know, on paper looks fantastic. So maybe he's willing to wait out one more year. But if they fall in love with Daniel Jones, he'll be at the Senior Bowl next week. Maybe they take a gamble on him. I think 10 might be too high. But they took, they took Paxton Lynch in the first round, took Brock Osweiler in the second round. That was clearly too high for both of them.
You also have the Redskins trading up to 11 to draft with the Bengals to draft Drew Lock out of Missouri. I don't know if you remember this, but I believe the Jaguars traded up to 11 with the Redskins to draft Blaine Gabbert out of Missouri.
Ooh. Well, let's hope it works out better than that. I like Drew Lock. He had a strong finish to the season. Strong bowl game, and in the final seven games, he played really well. Like 11 touchdowns, one interception, something crazy like that. But the three games before that, all losses, he threw one touchdown and five picks. And a lot of it was like, one of the games was against Alabama. You're going to lose that game, I understand. But a lot of the throws were like, okay, this reminds me of why Jay Cutler made people so angry. He can throw the ball through the wall. And you appreciate that, but you make stupid mistakes. And the big thing with Drew Lock is his footwork gets sloppy. He's great on deep balls. He's terrible, not terrible, but he's suspect at times on short throws. And you're like, well, clearly you're a fantastic athlete. What are you doing? And I think if he's focused, he's great. The issue is the Washington Redskins organization is not focused. So he's going to a complete and utter clown show. And you would hope that Jay Gruden can focus enough to coach him up. But who knows the way that operation's going.
Part of the concern, too, like, do you worry about Lock's scheme at all? Because you watch it play, it just feels like dudes are running, I mean, wide open. I get that. Yeah. I get that it's like that in college for a lot of teams, but I mean, it just feels like he's not facing it. I mean, most of the time, not facing a ton of pressure and just winging it down to some guy that's streaking open in the middle of the field.
Yeah. Well, Emmanuel Hall's actually a guy to watch. He was their sort of go-to wide receiver. He was injured for part of the year. I think he's going to be at the Senior Bowl. I'm pretty sure he's going to be there. And he's explosive. So he could be someone that could sneak into like the second round or something. But yeah, no, that's a fair concern. And that's a translation you have to figure out if you're a scout or a coach or a GM. But the thing is, as you point out, all these college offenses are wide open. And now the NFL teams are figuring out how to incorporate that into making them successful with these young players. All the more reason, that's why Freddie Kitchens and Baker worked out so well. And that's why whoever gets Kyler Murray is going to be looking to have that sort of success. And I think given the, you know, Drew Lock checks all the boxes. He's 6'4", he's 220 or whatever he is. He's big and strapping and all the other stuff. You can worry about the offensive stuff if he checks all the measurables, even though I think we're sort of going away from that.
at the cornerback position. You have the first guy off the board. This surprised me. To number 8 to the Detroit Lions. Not Greedy Williams out of LSU, the consensus, I think consensus number 1 pick, but instead, or number 1 cornerback. Instead, you have Byron Murphy out of Washington going out. Is he your top corner on your draft big board?
Yeah. He is. It's close. But he, man, every time you watch him, he is balling out. He played out of his mind in the conference championship against Utah. Had a pick early that was sort of fortuitous. It sort of bounced off someone's helmet or something. He caught it, pick sixed it. At the end of the game, he had a huge pass breakup to seal the game. He is, I mean, you know, to use the scouting term, he mirrors receivers as good as anyone in college football. And he can tackle. He can come off the end and blitz. He's more of a cover three guy. But you feel comfortable with him out there if you're a team desperate for a cornerback like the Lions are. Matt Patricia still has a job. So, yeah, he's my number one. Greedy Williams, I told you this earlier, he reminds me of Justin Gilbert at Oklahoma State, the way he's built, long and sort of muscular. He went top 10 to the Browns in 2014. He was drafted before they took Johnny Manziel.
Oh, yeah. He was drafted before they took Odell Beckham. And,
yeah, oh, absolutely. Because Odell went like
Aaron
11
Donald,
or something.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, that's right, absolutely. And he didn't work out. And I remember watching him in college thinking, okay, I understand the physical part of it, but he's not doing anything.
Here's
now,
here's the list of guys drafted immediately after. I'm going to list them in order.
Where did he go? What, 8?
He went 8, followed by Anthony Barr, Eric Ebron, Taylor Lewan, Odell Beckham, Aaron Donald, Kyle Fuller, Ryan Shazier, Zach Martin, and C.J. Mosley. Wow, Browns.
That's a swing and a miss.
Yeah.
And then you double down with Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, trade
but,
back
here,
Manziel.
Greedy Williams is not Justin Gilbert. He just physically he reminds me of the way he's tall and lanky and fast.
Sure.
Greedy Williams is, when he puts his mind to it, can be really, really good. Sometimes he gets lazy in sort of his technique, and sometimes he looks like he's not interested in being out there, and maybe he's not. Maybe he's thinking about the NFL, or maybe he's thinking about playing Alabama when that game comes up or whatever. And he'll be a first-round pick, and it's just a matter of him getting his mind right. And I'm not saying he's going to be lazy or he's not interested in football. It's just the things watching him play. I was like, huh, Byron Murphy doesn't do these things. So I like Byron Murphy, and that's he's one, and Greedy's two.
By the way, the Washington freaking football program is DBU, man. They crank out defensive backs left and right. I worked out one time. Elijah Molden, who's a sophomore there, his dad is a trainer, and I worked out for him one time. He used to be a defensive back.
And you worked out for him. You're trying to be a cornerback?
No. He was like a trainer for a workout session I did. But he was we were talking about.
Oh, is he from North Carolina?
No. It's a whole long story. I think it was in Houston, actually. Anyway, he
flying in for workouts.
What's that?
They're flying in for workouts.
No. It was at the Super Bowl a few years back. But the
Was that the breathalyzer thing you were doing?
It's something similar. Similar stupid thing to that. But his dad was an NFL cornerback. But like, if you look at the list of guys who have come out of Washington, it's pretty crazy.
The Falcons. Cornerback, what's his name? Whose brother
Desmond,
played Seattle?
Desmond Trufant.
Desmond's brother Marcus.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of them. Okay, I also wanted to ask you about you point out that the Steelers get Antonio Brown's replacement. While true in that they add a wide receiver, I don't think the wide receiver that you gave them, Calvin Harmon, is necessarily an Antonio Brown replacement, right?
No, he's not. He's completely different. He's more.
He is completely different.
He's more Anquan than Antonio.
Yeah, that's right. But Calvin Harmon, of course, from NC State, a total stud. I think a lock in the first round. I've had him in the first round since before last year, just like I had Bradley Chubb and nobody else did. No big deal. And Harmon, I think he could even be the first wide receiver off the board. I wouldn't be stunned if he was.
Yeah, there's a lot of debate on whether it's going to be DK Metcalf, who I love, but he got hurt. He had to leave his season in October because of a neck injury. He declared for the draft a month later. So he thought he was healthy. It'll be up to the NFL teams to decide that. But he is insanely good. And there are actually a lot of similarities in my mind between Metcalf and Harmon. I think Metcalf might be a little faster, but they do a lot of the same things. They're big receivers. They can beat single coverage. They're great, as Mike Tomlin likes to call it, combat catchers. They high point the ball. They can run slants. They're muscle up against anyone. So there are a lot of guys like that. There's these two, Harmon and Metcalf. There's J.J. Arcega-Whiteside at Stanford, who's a big guy whose parents played basketball. I think his dad played in Spain. Maybe his mom did, too. I've literally seen him post people up on fade patterns in the end zone like he was getting a rebound. So there's that. Who's the other? Oh, N'Keal Harry out of Arizona State is another big guy who reminds me of Anquan and Juju. So you can go down the line, and then, you know, the fast guys like Marquise Hollywood Brown, who is Antonio's cousin. It would be fantastic if they drafted him and traded Antonio. But I would love Harmon there. Take the pressure off Juju, who's going to get double teamed now should AB leave. You hope James Washington, their second round pick last year, works out. He was apparently lights out in training camp and then turtled up, and once the season began, probably been yelling at him. But you need three receivers. So even if Juju and James play well, that ain't going to cut it.
Right. I like that fit. I think he ends up going earlier than the Steelers are picking. Although, I mean, obviously they're picking fairly, you know, 20th overall. We thought the Colts were a target team for them. But they're not picking until 26 now. I can see him maybe even going to the Browns at 17. You have DK Metcalf going there. I don't think the
Bears, by the way, it's a stretch of the Steelers take a wide receiver, but I'd like it just for the Antonio Brown factor.
Right. Great for the traffic. Great for the clicks, right?
Clickbait, baby.
Clickbait. The Bills need a wide receiver too. You have them taking Ed Oliver. What do you think Ed Oliver's floor is in this draft?
The concern is his weight. He's like 275.
He's a big boy.
He's 10 pounds lighter than Aaron Donald, if you want to compare him to Aaron Donald. And Aaron Donald's probably a completely different player if he weighs 275, maybe 15 pounds lighter than Aaron Donald. But when he's on, you can't block him. The thing is, Quinnen Williams is better than he is.
Yeah, no doubt.
So, and that wasn't the case 2 months ago, 2-3 months ago. It was Bosa, Oliver, no question about it.
I mean, there was buzz about Ed Oliver winning the freaking Heisman this year, which was just stupid.
He got hurt. He got the shouting match with Major Applewhite about puffy coats, which is fantastic. Major Applewhite has since gotten fired.
Fired by Army, by the way. Army beat the guy named Major, who never was in the Army, got fired by because Army beat him so bad.
There you go. So, but I think he can be. He's a top 15 pick. He's probably a top 10 pick. I think he's going to be. The question is, can he hold up over 16 games? I don't know that way. Do you move him around inside and outside? He's probably better. He's almost certainly better inside. That's a question with Rashawn Gary out of Michigan. Is he better inside or outside? People always say he's a top five pick, and you watch him play, and Jim Harbaugh had him playing inside a lot, or outside a lot, excuse me, and his pass rushing moves didn't blow anyone away. You move him inside, he's a little more dynamic, so that's whoever drafts him has got to figure that out. But Ed Oliver's going to be a really good football player. It's just a matter of can he hold up, can he put on weight, and will he be the same dynamic player if he gains 10 or 15 pounds, and I'm imagining he probably will be.
All right, give me I want to ask you about Noah Fant, tight end out of Iowa. You got Fant going to number 19 to the Tennessee Titans. Give Marcus Mariota another weapon alongside Jonnu Smith. What do you like about Fant? What have you seen out of him?
He's the best athlete among the tight end class, and this tight end class is stacked.
Really?
His teammate came out on Monday too. T.J. Hockenson announced. So both of the tight end Iowa tight ends are coming out.
Two early entrants out of one school.
And Noah Fant was not targeted as often as he should have been, given how good he is. Hockenson got a lot of looks as well. So Hockenson could be a second or third round pick. No later than day two, I feel like. Noah Fant is extremely athletic. He can sneak into the first round. He's an Evan Engram type. He's not someone that's going to block all day for you, but Delonte Walker's 34 years old. Jonnu Smith showed glimpses of being good, but if you want someone to step in right away and make that offense more explosive, and that's what it needs, Noah Fant, you know, he makes some sense. So he's going to be fun to watch because that's where the NFL is going. I mean, you still have blocking tight ends, Rob Gronkowski, which is sort of a weird thing to say.
Jeez, dang.
But that's what he is, but they're moving towards these athletic guys. And another guy who I feel like is going to the Steelers. Not the Steelers, the Patriots, speaking of Gronkowski, Irv Smith Jr. I talked about him last week. Alabama tight end, 6'3", built like I called him a brick poop house last week, and that's exactly what he is. But he's fast, great hands, runs crazy routes, and that's someone that fits right in. Nick Saban guy, the Saban to Belichick pipeline, fits right into what Bill Belichick likes to do.
By the way, on the Fant thing, that's worth keeping an eye on, too. So, I mean, he finished the year with 39 catches, 518 yards, and 7 touchdowns. I mean, that's not an eye-popping stat. 19 touchdowns in 3 years, really 18 touchdowns in 2 years is what really catches your eye, but only 78 receptions over those 3 years. But then you go back and look at George Kittle, who was at Iowa for 4 years. Do you know how many? And it's okay if you don't. Do you know how many?
I don't. And he was a fifth-round pick or whatever. What is it, fourth-round pick?
He was a fifth-round pick. Do you know how many catches George Kittle had in 4 years at Iowa?
I'm going to guess 50.
48. He had 48 catches. George Kittle.
I think he tested off the charts in the spark rating or whatever. And that was a big part of his – the athleticism was a big part of the draw for the 49ers. But there were people that will tell you that they thought he should have gone much higher.
George Kittle had 43 catches in his rookie year and 88 catches for 1,377 yards last season.
Imagine him with AB.
Right. But, I mean, my point is more like, are we sure that what's his name? Not Kirk Herbstreit.
Todd McShay?
No, who's the damn Iowa coach that always gets an extension?
Oh, right, yeah. Kirk, it is Kirk. Look at it real quick.
Oh, it's my fault. If I hadn't mentioned, I make fun of him all the time because he, Ferentz, Kirk Ferentz.
Yeah, there
he gets an extension every year. He didn't win anything. He's never won anything. He wins like 8 or 9 games a year. He's set for life. Eight, nine. Won 12 games in 2015 and lost the Rose Bowl. Never wins a big bowl game. Just never gets an extension. Always gets brought up for jobs in the NFL. Never leaves. He doesn't know how to use the tight end. And apparently he can't use George Kittle or Noah Fant. All right, give me, I think the comp is interesting because Fant's stats shouldn't be a big red flag, I don't think, given what we saw from Kittle in college versus what we saw from Kittle at the NFL. Give me one player who crept into your first round mock this week, who we should be keeping an eye on.
Nassir Adderley.
Who?
I talked about him last week on Sportsline, maybe 2 weeks ago.
Oh, good. I thought you were going to say on here. I was like, oh, man, I definitely didn't even hear that.
No. But he got some buzz late in the season. And he's out of Delaware, so FCS school. A lot of people obviously don't know about him, but he's going to be at the Senior Bowl. And former cornerback, plays safety. The issue is he going to be heavy enough? I think he weighs probably 195. But the expectation is that he's going to be a blazer once he gets to the combine. Not afraid to take on bigger blockers. Not afraid to put his nose in it, like running downhill at the line of scrimmage. Can also cover. He plays a lot of zone, so we didn't see a lot of sort of man-to-man concepts. But he can play in the slot based on his cornerbacking hit background. And, you know, he does all the things that you want your cornerbacks to do or safeties to do in 2019. So I think he's going to get a lot of attention. Safety class isn't very deep. Deontay Thompson out of Alabama is the number one guy. And he's a completely different player. He looks like he's probably 6'2", 6'3", super long, covers a lot of ground. Jaquan Johnson out of Miami is another guy who's built more like Adderley that's going to have to prove that he can at that size be able to hold up over 16 games. But he's a guy that's going to be fun to watch. He'll be at the Senior Bowl. There'll be a lot of talk about him there, I'm sure, especially if he gets red hot and you know, lights a few people up.
All right, Nassir Adderley, I love it. Ryan Wilson, draft expert. Follow him on Twitter at Ryan Wilson CBS. Check him out on CBS Sports HQ and go read that mock draft. We'll talk to you next week, buddy.
Adios.